It's not a Christmas message. We're not there just yet. But before I begin, let me begin with a word of prayer. So please join as I pray. Father, it's wonderful for us to be able to meet here together this morning. And I just pray that you'd speak through me, that you'd touch our hearts today, and that you'd encourage us and help us to grow in our faith and in our faith journey with you. Lord, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So sometimes different people have an unfair advantage when it comes to understanding the parables and the symbolism in the Bible. To give you some examples, if you're a builder, then you have an informed perspective when it comes to the parable of the wise and the foolish builder. If you're a father, then you hear the parable of the prodigal son and you understand the love that the father has. And if you're in finance, then you understand all that stuff there is about tax collectors in there. It makes sense to you. So you can see that sometimes the illustrations in the Bible are just more relatable to us depending on our life experiences. So I want to say, and I hope you know this, today we are the ones who have an unfair advantage when it comes to understanding the words of Scripture that are in the Bible. I hope you guys know that. So we're going to get into our passage shortly. But before we do that, I'd just like to take a step back and see kind of where we're at as a church. So this year we have looked at the book of Daniel. And we saw how the people of Israel actually resisted a culture that was hostile towards their faith. Following that, 3 months ago, we started the Two Ways to Live series, which was designed to equip us with skills to evangelize the lost. And last week, we finished our Heart Matters series, which was all about seeing where we are at in our faith with God. And now, as you can see, we're beginning our journey towards Christmas as well. And so when you take a step back to consider all of this stuff, I feel that we're actually building towards something. And I could be wrong in this, but my earnest belief is that what God has been doing through these series is actually challenging us as a church and stirring us up to actually shift our focus onto intentionally sharing the gospel with our community. Like, I think this is something that God is doing. And if I am right about this, then this morning's message is actually where the rubber is going to hit the road, and it's going to hit the road hard. You see, we've talked about a culture that is against Christianity, against faith. We've talked about sharing the gospel, and we've even looked inside here to see where we're going. But let me ask you this question this morning. What was the point of looking at all of this if it doesn't lead to any change in our lives? If there's no growth, if there's no change, if nothing happens, that's different. We may as well have just got up here and banged a gong for half an hour for the last 6 months. There has to be some point to our preaching. There has to be some reason that we come and hear sermons every single week. So today it's a once-off. It's a once-off sermon, but it's also at the same time a continuation of all of these series all at the same time. So with this in mind, let's see what God actually wants to say to us this morning in his word. So to give you a bit of context, this morning's passage actually follows immediately on from what Dale shared on last week. So let me remind you of what it says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So last week, we've heard about the pastoral heart of Jesus. We've seen our Savior see his people, and they were lost. And he didn't get fiercely angry with them. He was moved deeply in his spirit for his people. That's our Savior. And today, we see what he has to say following on from this. What does Jesus say to his disciples? Then he said, "The harvest is plentiful." That's what Jesus said. Now, hopefully you can see why we have an unfair advantage in understanding what Jesus is talking about this morning. Here, Jesus is using this analogy of the harvest to actually represent the readiness of people to be gathered and brought into the kingdom of God. You see, the harvest time, as many of you know very well, is when the fruit or the veggies are ready. They've reached their growing potential. They are ripe. And when this happens, when it's ready to be picked or dug up or whatever it is, that is when the harvest takes place. And here this action of harvesting actually represents the action of gathering people into the kingdom of God. Just like the disciples were called to be fishers of men, here the instruction is to be harvesters of souls, of people's souls. And so how do we do this? How do we harvest people's souls? How do we gather people into the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus lays out the pathway for kingdom entry in the very beginning of the Gospels, in his preaching. He comes preaching the gospel of the good news of Jesus, and this is what he says. The kingdom of God is at hand, so repent and believe in the gospel. That is the pathway for kingdom entry. In order for people to come in, they need to repent and believe. For people to repent and believe, they have to hear the gospel. And for people to hear the gospel, somebody, I don't know who, but somebody has to tell them this incredible message of salvation. Now, in other places in the New Testament, sharing the gospel is actually more so related to sowing the seed. So you have Jesus talking about sharing the gospel as sowing the seed, but also as the harvest. So which one is it? Is it sowing or is it harvesting? Well, when you read the scriptures, you see that it is connected with both because these different analogies actually highlight a couple of different things. So if you're sowing, you know that not all the seeds are actually going to germinate and produce fruit. That's something that you know. You just sow the seed and see what happens. But if you're harvesting, you're actually collecting successful fruit. It has grown. It's ready just to be picked. That's what it's there for. And so when it speaks about the harvest, it's actually speaking about successful evangelism, being successful in preaching the gospel to people. Not that we are special and great and we can do this of our own strength, but the fact that when we preach this message, God works through it, and so he is the one that brings people to salvation. So harvesting is not just preaching the gospel and seeing what's happening. It's actually gathering people into the kingdom of God because God works through his word. It happens. It's a guarantee. It's locked in. There is success in gospel preaching. That's what the harvest looks like. And this, as you can probably already tell, it's no ordinary harvest. It's no small harvest. The harvest that Jesus speaks about is a plentiful one. It's a plentiful harvest. Now, in other words, none of the farmers are here this morning, but that means you've got a bumper crop. That's what he's talking about here. You won't dig into the soil and be disappointed. To paint the picture for you, I've ridden shotgun in a tractor, and that's towing one of those spud harvesters, and I've seen tons, literal tons and tons of spuds pouring up out of the ground. That's a plentiful harvest. Maybe you haven't done that yourself, but you know what about Christmas time? All of us are here at Christmas time, and Jason just drops off bins with hundreds and hundreds of watermelons in it. And that's the leftovers, that's the seconds. The fact is, if you live here in this valley, you drive past those crops, you should know what a plentiful harvest looks like. Most of you have been living here longer than me, and so you know better than me what a big, big harvest actually looks like. And so here Jesus is teaching that there weren't just a handful of people that were going to be gathered into the kingdom of God. There was a truckload of people that were going to be coming into his kingdom. That's what he's saying, a plentiful harvest. Now, this prophecy of Jesus proved to be true. If you read the book of Acts, you see Peter preaching at Pentecost and 3,000 people came to faith on the same day. That's amazing. You keep reading through the pages of Acts, the gospel keeps spreading. More and more people keep coming into the kingdom of God. And so Jesus was right. The harvest was plentiful. It was most definitely plentiful, as we can see. But that doesn't mean we're off the hook. Not at all. Just because these words were fulfilled already in the book of Acts doesn't mean that they don't apply to us anymore. You see, the thing about a harvest is that it comes around every season, doesn't it? You keep sowing, then you keep harvesting, you keep reaping. And so every time you see a bumper crop, every time you see a bountiful harvest, what we need to do is actually be reminded of the plentiful and bountiful harvest that is all the way out there and down there. That's what we need to be reminded of. I was talking about this with a few of you before the service, but to put things in a bit of perspective, there are 41 plus thousand people that live in the Lockyer Valley. Yeah, Brett's amazed. But despite what the census actually has to say about, you know, what people believe, I feel like we'd be lucky to have 2,000 people in sitting in a service on a Sunday. I think that that's extremely generous. 2,000 out of 41,000. Now, you might look at that as a glass pretty much empty kind of deal, but that's actually a glass ready to be filled up. That means there's a lot of people out there who could be ready for this kingdom harvest that I'm talking about this morning. Hundreds, if not thousands of people just waiting to hear the gospel. Now, there's only one problem. And funnily enough, it's the same problem that they had in the first century, which Jesus speaks about here in verse 37. So have a listen to the rest of it. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So, yep, we can all agree there's a bountiful harvest out there to be had. But the problem is we actually also have a shortage of workers. That's a problem for us too. If you divide 41,000 by 100 or so, which is our church, that means we all have to preach the gospel to about 400 people each to reach everybody. That's a big job. That's a massive job. So the labor is, there's a lot of it, and it's busy. But let me tell you about the church all across Queensland right now, not just where we are. So for starters, yep, you know, we've already acknowledged it in our prayer this morning. Just in one area, you know, we've been blessed by some great musicians, but we also have gaps there. And so sometimes we have canned music. There's a big gap there. We mentioned Gatton Baptist as well. They had to put their youth group on hold this year because they couldn't get enough leaders. There are local schools and they don't have RI teachers. They don't have chaplains there. This is true. I'm part of a couple of different regional pastoral networks, and that one's for the Darling Downs and one's the Brisbane one, and so it goes up North Coast as well. And the fact is, like at all the meetings that we've had this year, the messages from everybody is the same. Maybe the ministries are going well, but the pastors are flat out. There's too much work for them to do, and they cannot find volunteers to fill their ministries. The message is the same all across these regional churches. And here's another thing. Here's a measurement from the last decade. In the last 8 or 9 years, I've just kept an eye on the pastoral vacancies in QB churches. I have never seen more vacancies in 8 or 9 years than what there are now in churches. So I can guarantee you, if churches can't fill pastoral jobs and they can't fill ministry, you know, roles in the church, then the outreach of the church is suffering as well. I can guarantee you that. So, hopefully you can see that just like in the first century, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So how are we going to overcome this age-old challenge? Well, Jesus actually goes on to give us a bit of a practical remedy to this problem. So this is what he has to say in verse 38. The laborers are few, yet we've heard that. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So what are we going to do in front of such a massive task that God has placed in front of us? Very, very simple answer. We pray. Not just pray, but we pray earnestly. We seek the face of God to send workers to the harvest for the Lockyer Valley. Now, Many of you guys prayed for a number of years, and so maybe you need a bit of encouragement to keep persisting in prayer. Now, if that's you this morning, consider what John has to say in his first epistle. And this is the confidence that we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we already possess what we have asked of him. So that means if we're asking God of things that are in accordance with his will, then we actually know that he is going to honor these prayers that we're asking of him. So do you think sending out workers is in accordance with God's will? Well, this is what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 2. This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Saviour, who desires all people to be saved and to come to knowledge of the truth. So does God want to see people saved through the preaching of his word? Yes, that is God's will. And so we can have confidence when we're praying for these things that workers are on the way. God is going to be sending them. If we ask. That's what we've got being laid out here before us. So maybe the challenge is, you know, maybe we don't have because we do not ask. Maybe if we took this challenge to prayer seriously, we would actually see people being brought into the church who have the gift of evangelism, who are just bold in sharing with their neighbours. Maybe that would actually start to happen if we got serious about praying for these workers to come. I don't know, just a guess. This is just hypotheticals for us to think about. But the practical thing that we need to take away here is there is actually a great need for us to be praying to God to send workers into his harvest. Now, I think we need to apply this in a couple of ways. So for number one, I'd encourage you, each of you, to just take the personal challenge to commit yourself to be praying that God would send laborers into the harvest field. Pray for this, please. But the second thing I think is important for us is hopefully, I guess, in the next year, I'd like to organize some prayer meetings so that we can actually come together as a church and pray. Pray for the harvest in the Lockyer Valley. You know, when was the last time that we did that as a church, just praying that the harvest would come? Think of it like when there's a government and they want to make a law that is a bit disagreeable. And so, you know, a politically minded person, they'll write, they'll sign petitions, they'll protest, they'll do anything they need to do until their voice is heard. That's what it looks like to persist. And that's what we need to do. We need to keep asking God to send these people to us because we can use them. We got stuff for them to do. There's people out there who need to hear the gospel. So if you're looking for a simple thing to take away, just one simple thing to do this week, then pray that God would send harvesters for the harvest out there in the Lockyer Valley. But there's one more thing we have to consider. That's only the first half of the remedy that Jesus actually gives for this workage shorter problem. Before we finish up, we actually need to consider what the second half of this remedy is, because there's one more critical thing which we need to see. So there are times, I'll tell you this, where the conversation that you're having, actually the context of it can actually change the meaning of that conversation quite a significant amount, right? You know, the context can have a significant impact. And there's one contextual detail for this conversation which changes everything. Changes everything we've heard so far. So the passage that we've been looking at today, it comes to the end at the end of Matthew chapter 9, right? And then the very next chapter, chapter 10, do you know what Jesus does? He commissions his disciples and he sends them out on mission. The whole chapter has got instructions, specific instructions for them to go out and be on the mission field. So the point I'm trying to make here is, yeah, Jesus, he said, you know, we've got to pray for workers to come. But then the immediate thing that he does after that, those same disciples who are supposed to be praying, he then sends them out anyway. Workers, this is a prayer that God wants to answer. Workers, they will come. But in the meantime, it's up to you guys. So you guys get out there. You guys go have a go at this. That's what we see Jesus doing here in this passage. And the same is actually true if we want to apply this to our lives as well. If we seek to be a follower of Jesus, then yes, we actually do need to be praying that the Lord would send workers. There's also a responsibility on us to share the gospel with the people that are around us. That's the truth if we want to be a follower of Jesus. There might be workers coming, but we can't sit here and just twiddle our thumbs, can we? We actually have to get into it, find something to do. That's the task that is set upon us. To give you a bit of a sort of way of thinking about it, I want you to think about when COVID hit in 2020. So one of the things that they did during COVID was actually close all the international borders, which made a real problem for our farmers. Most of us got used to Jason and Barry saying, I just can't get workers. Can't get them. I saw news articles which were from strawberry farmers who were offering like massive cash bonuses to try and get people to come and do strawberry pickers. You know, that's how desperate people were when we didn't have those workers here in Australia. So the question is, how did the farmers make it? Well, if they were here today, you could ask them, Jason, Barry, Timmy, how did you guys do it? The fact of the matter is, do you know what they did? They put their heads down, they got stuck into it, and they worked hard. That's what they did when they didn't have workers. Leon drove tractors, you know? People do stuff that they need that needs to be done. If it has to be done, they get in and they do it. That's what they did. That's how the farmers survived. And the same actually is true of us when it comes to our gospel witness. The workers might be few, but until God sends more, it's actually up to us here in this room, this ragtag group of believers. This is our job. It's not anybody else's. If we don't share the gospel with the people in our community, then who else is going to do it? Just like the farmers, when we have this shortage, which we do, we just need to get stuck in and we need to get it done. It might be hard work, there could be long hours, but that's just what's needed in this current situation. Now, I've already mentioned that there are around 41,000 people living in the Lockyer Valley. To run that by you again, that's if it was just up to us, that means all of us would have to preach the gospel to 400 people each. So that's a massive task. That's massive, you know? We actually need everybody to get on board with this. It's not just, you know, the pastors. It's not just the you know, the people who are ministry leaders. That's what the priesthood of all believers is. It's all our job to share this message with the people out there. You know, Del, she is a craft enthusiast. She's going to be able to reach people that I'll never even speak with. Karen, she does lots of different bits and bobs. She will be able to reach people that would never even set foot in a church. That's the truth. You know, even the stay-at-home mums, they speak with people who are not connected to the church in any other way. So we all have our little part to play in God's kingdom mission. So to finish up this morning, we might have looked at Daniel and Two Ways to Live and Heart Matters. But the challenge this morning for us is actually, what do we do with all of this? Yep, there's a call to prayer, that's good. But there's also a call for us to step up and share the gospel with people in our community. That's the pattern of discipleship that Jesus sets out. If we want to be a follower of him, that's what we got to do. And so I wonder this morning, you know, what is your response to all this? When you hear this, like, what do you think? What does this look like for you? You know, what is your part to play in God's kingdom mission here in the Lockyer Valley? That's not a question that I can answer. That's a question that only each one of us here can answer for ourselves. So we're going to close now. I want to just give you a moment to consider that question. So we'll pray in a second, but I'm just going to give you 30 seconds to sit before the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want to use me for in your kingdom mission here in the Lockyer Valley? Just give you 30 seconds, pray, ask the Lord this question, and then I'll close at the end. Father God, I just thank you for this morning. I acknowledge that it's been challenging, but what I love about my relationship with you, Lord, is every time you challenge me, I grow. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be challenged this morning and that we would be able to grow from this. But Lord, what we really want to ask you for as well is that you would send workers into the harvest, to our church, to Gatton, to other local churches that are in our network, Lord, just send people that are passionate about evangelism, that are passionate about the gospel, passionate about discipleship. In the meantime, I pray as well, God, that you would just help us. You know, each person here has wildly different personalities, and whatever this looks like is different for each person, Lord. And so I pray, Father, that you would lead us and guide us, but stir up a passion in us for the gospel, a passion to see people saved, brought from death to life. We pray for our community as we head into Christmas, Lord, that people would come along to the Christmas service. People would hear the message of the gospel, of joy to the world, and God, that you would impact their hearts. You know, we can get up and we can rehearse all this stuff, but it's not going to matter unless you help us, Lord. And so that's what we ask for this morning. So God, I just want to pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.